Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
I served an unapproachable God. While I served the high priest that served an unapproachable God. But everything changed in that one night. Everything changed in one night. I was drugged to the garden and then my ear. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me back up. I was there in the garden with Judas. Judas knew exactly where Jesus was going to be, and we were all there waiting for him. It was crazy that night. His disciples were with him, but I saw Jesus. I was very close to Jesus, and you could tell he was visibly upset. And Judas kisses Jesus on the cheek, and I was standing so close that I heard Jesus call Judas friend. And that's the last thing I heard, because in moments later, I heard nothing. I saw the flash of a blade come toward my face, and I felt blood streaming down. And then it got quiet. And then I got dizzy. And then Jesus, he touched me. Like I said, I heard all the stories about Jesus, and I've heard all the stories about how Jesus healed people with his hands. There was this one time he healed a person with dirt and spit. And so many people, he just healed them with his hands. But it wasn't his hands for me. It was the way he looked at me. It was his eyes. That's what broke me. His eyes were filled with compassion and grief and joy. And when he pulled his hand away, my ear, I mean, that night, everything I heard about that man had changed forever. They had a mock trial for him. The whole night was just set up to condemn him. And he didn't say a word. He just felt sorry for us. There was the sentencing, there was Pilate, the crucifixion, and then there was an earthquake. And then the veil. I was in the temple. I was in the temple when the veil was ripped in half. Do you know what that means? I mean, even I knew what that meant. God had invited us all in. The unapproachable God was now approachable. God was on the move.
Open your Bibles this morning to John chapter 18. We are continuing our series called Encounters with Christ, where we've been looking at different people in the New Testament who encountered Jesus up close and personal, and today we're looking at a man named Malchus. Now, when you first came in this morning, there was a piece of paper on your seat. If you want to make sure you find that, we're going to be referencing that at the close of the service, so just find that and keep it handy, and we'll talk a little bit later on about what you should do with that. But if you're here for the first time this morning, we just want to say we're so glad to have you today. It is great to have you this morning, and maybe you don't consider yourself a religious person. You don't go to church that much, or you just don't think you're that religious. Well, you know what? I think if you hang out here long enough, you'll find out we're not that religious either. Because you see, God's not about religion. God's about relationship. And we just want you to know, we're glad you're here. If you're looking for Christ, if you have questions about God, about spiritual things, this is a great place. You can ask all the questions that you want, and we welcome you today. Now, as you're turning in your Bibles or you're flipping your smartphones to John 18, I want to ask a question. Have you ever formed an opinion about a person at the first time you met them, And then you realize that opinion was wrong and you had a change of heart about him later on. How many have ever done that before? Several of you have. My wife and I experienced that when we were in college in North Dakota. I was a junior and she was an incoming freshman, and I was interested in her. And so you look for ways how you can meet someone, okay? And we were at a football game, and I noticed that she and her roommate were sitting, and I and my friend, we were just going to sit down. I thought, this is a great chance to get to know this beautiful young lady. And so I go, and I sit down, and I introduce myself. Hi, I'm Craig. What's your name? And she's staring straight ahead. She doesn't even acknowledge I'm there. And it's like, Rebecca. And I go, Rebecca what? Larson. Where are you from? Iowa. Where in Iowa? Newton. Okay, now I'm not a genius, okay? But I could tell very quickly she was not interested, okay? She was cold as a North Dakota wind. And so I just said nothing else and just kind of scooted over. You know, before the game was done, I was probably about 15, 20 feet away. We just kind of kept scooting further and further away. But fast forward now to a couple of months later, and we went on a double date. And the other couple we're going with, she knew him very well from camp, and his name was Randy. And I said, Randy, you might have to help us because, you know, we've never really talked. I mean, this could be, you might have to kind of help carry the conversation along. And we were in a small town in North Dakota. There was really nothing there to do. And everybody either went 40 miles south to Aberdeen, South Dakota, or 60 miles north to Jamestown just to do something, okay? And so we're driving there, and Randy and his girlfriend are in the front seat. Rebecca and I are in the back seat. And I tell you, we talked the whole time and didn't miss a beat. A complete 180-degree turn around from what it had been a few months before on the bleachers of a football field. And I remember Randy turning around, he and his girlfriend, Maura, they turn around, and they're just smiling at me and looking at me like, yeah, you need us to carry a conversation. When Malchus first encountered Jesus, he probably saw him as an enemy, someone who was an adversary, someone he did not have any interest in, because Malchus was the servant of the high priest. And I'm sure as he is, you know, taking care of the priest's needs, bringing him food, bringing him drink, whatever the priest wanted, that he heard about the protests about Christ and what he was doing, how he was trying to destroy the worship of God, how he was inviting the wrath of the Roman Empire down because if people would rebel against Rome, if they saw Jesus as the Messiah. Because the whole concept of Messiah is that he would be the king who would come and set Israel free and lead them to be a sovereign nation again. And so if Jesus is Messiah, he's going to overthrow the Roman Empire, and the priests lose their position, they lose their power, it brings war and bloodshed and horror upon the nation. They're concerned. And so I am sure Malchus did not see Jesus as a friend. But the events of that night in the garden, the night on Jesus' betrayal, before Jesus hung on the cross and died and 3 days later rose again, that night was a turnaround for Malchus. Let's take a look at our text, John chapter 18. We're going to pick it up in verse 1. And the setting of this passage is that Jesus has just finished the Passover meal with his disciples. And so in verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now this garden was the Mount of Olives, okay? And Jesus went there often to pray. In fact, Matthew's gospel tells us that that was the reason they went there to the garden, was so that they could pray. And if you would read the account in Matthew chapter 26, you would see that the disciples fell asleep while Jesus was praying. In fact, they fell asleep not only once, but twice and a third time. And Jesus comes back to them, and Matthew, who was one of the disciples, so he knows this really well, he records in his gospel in verse 40, he said, Jesus said, couldn't you stay awake an hour and pray with me? So they were probably there about an hour praying, and after they were finished praying in verse 2, we're back in John chapter 18, verse 2, Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things would come upon him. I want you to realize Jesus knew this was going to happen. This was not a surprise to him. There's another place in Scripture where he says, no one takes my life, I lay it down. You see, it wasn't an accident that Jesus went to the cross. He deliberately set his life on course to go to the cross. Picking it back up, in it goes on, it says, they went forward and said to them, whom are you seeking? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now, when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. Do you realize you've got these soldiers with their clubs and their swords and their spears, and they're ready to take him? And he says, I am he. And they fall backwards and are basically faint under the power of God. You're talking about a powerful thing. I don't know what that would do to you, but I know that would rattle me if I'm here to get a guy and with one word, he knocks me out. I mean, didn't even have to do any boxing here. She'll say, I am he. Boom, you're down for the count. They get back up, and he says to them again, whom are you seeking? And they say, Jesus of Nazareth. And he says, I've told you I am he. They didn't fall down this time, because if they would have kept doing that all night long, you know, he never would have made it to the cross. But it says, moving on, he says, therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, referring to his 11 disciples who were with him, who were supposed to be praying in the garden. And he said, this so that it might be fulfilled of which he spoke. This is an Old Testament prophecy. Those whom you gave me, I have lost none. Verse 10, then Simon Peter, the impulsive one, the one who is always quick, doesn't think before he speaks or acts. It says, Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his ear. How many know that Peter was a fisherman and not a warrior? I mean, he can't even, you know, kill someone the right way. Who's standing still? Who's not expecting it? He cuts off his ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? And what Jesus means by that is, shall I not go to the cross and bear the sins of the world? This is God's will. Shouldn't I do God's will? Are you trying to keep me from doing God's will? In verse 12, it says, then the detachment of troops and the captains and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him, and they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now, in this account that we just read, John tells us that Peter played the Three Musketeers with Malchus's ear, okay? But Luke, in his gospel, shares an important detail. Luke chapter 22, verse 51. And realize, Luke is a doctor. So Luke picks up on this stuff. I mean, the medical thing is important to him. And Luke shares this. But Jesus said, no more of this. And he touched his ear and healed him. And yeah, we're not sure if Jesus bent down and picked up the ear that's on the ground, or if he just touched the place where it was and the ear grew back. But Malchus was super naturally healed. Wow. In fact, there's another place in the gospel accounts, because you see, the gospel accounts, they share sometimes parallel accounts of the same event, and Jesus says, the soldiers are going to take him, and Jesus says, permit me to do this. He's saying, stop right here and let me heal this guy. Now, I want you to think about this. What did Malchus learn as a result of this encounter with Jesus? If you're taking notes this morning, I'd like you to take your notes out today. It's the insert in your bulletin. And we're going to learn what Malchus learned from his encounter with Christ. And also, if you're new with us, you might see some questions. These are questions that you can take home and do on your own. There's other Bible verses to look up and to help you grow in your relationship with Christ. Life groups, we use these in our life groups, our small group ministry. And so make sure you fill that out. But here's the first thing that Malchus learned in his encounter with Jesus. Number one, Jesus is caring and compassionate. Jesus is caring and he is compassionate. Up until this point, Malchus had been surrounded by hate-filled speech from the priest, the high priest, his master, possibly from other people who came. And no doubt, he was even there when Judas came to betray Christ. And so he knows all these things. He's seen all these things. His exposure to Jesus has been nothing but negative. I mean, even one of his followers is against him. And so he has had a negative perspective of who Christ was. And you realize, do you realize that for many people, and you might be one of those here today, your viewpoint of Jesus, of God, is negative. It's not positive. Maybe it's because of things you've heard other people say about him. Maybe you had a professor in college who just blasted God, who said the Bible's unreliable and all these different things. I encourage you, don't let someone else's opinion of God or even what a Christian has done to you color your perception of Jesus. I mean, Malchus had his ear cut off by Jesus' right-hand guy. And there are many people I know, sometimes they grow up in the church and they are offended. They're hurt by someone in the body of Christ. Sometimes they hear things that other Christians say and it just stabs them and it hurts them. And they say, if that's what it means to be a Christian, I want nothing to do with it. I know some young people, they can't wait to graduate so they never have to go to church again, maybe because of something that happened in church or maybe of hypocrisy or something they see going on in the home. If you are here today, I encourage you, let go of your bitterness. Let go of what other people have said and you go on a diligent search of who God is for yourself. Because someday, they're not going to have to answer for your life. You're going to have to answer for your life. So you go on a search and you prove for yourself that Jesus is not real, that he doesn't care, that he is not who he says he is, that the Bible is not true. You search it out for yourself. Now, as we move on here, I just want to ask a question. How many of you have ever been so busy, so focused on an important project that everything else just kind of fell to the background? You maybe didn't eat, you didn't drink, or maybe you're with your friends or with your spouse or with your kids and they're talking to you and you're going, but you have no idea what they said. You just kind of zoned out. How many have ever done something like that before? Yeah. You know, maybe you're going through a court case, or maybe one of your kids is just putting you through the, you know, through the mill. You're giving you fits. Maybe you're dealing with a health issue. Maybe you lost your job. I mean, there's a lot of different circumstances. You know, maybe you're a college student getting ready for finals, or you have tons of papers. But you know, there's things that just cause us sometimes to focus in on the project and ignore everything else. And I want you to think about Jesus and what is taking place, because he has a lot on his mind. Jesus knows, we just talked about, Jesus knew he was going to the cross. It was an accident. He knows he's going to the cross. He knows he's going to bear the sins of the entire world. He knows that history past and history future hinges on the next 24 hours. And that he needs to go through this sinless, without sinning, because otherwise the wages of sin is death. If he sins, then he's blown it. He knows the prophecy in Isaiah that says his image is going to be marred more than any other person, and he doesn't even look like a human being. We talked about the suffering Jesus went through when we talked about Simon of Cyrene a few weeks back. Jesus knew the prophecies. He knew he was going to have his beard pulled out and be spit upon and be his hands and feet pierced. He knew what was coming. He knew David's Psalm 22 that prophesied, my God, why have you forsaken me? He knew God was going to turn his back on him and he was going to be separated from the Father. Jesus knew. And yet, in the midst of this, he helps Malchus. I mean, do you realize he's been praying? And in this is interesting. In Matthew 26, we have it on the screen, in verse 51, it says, Matthew records this whole incident from his viewpoint. It says, suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. Jesus said, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? A legion was a number of about 6,000 foot soldiers plus horsemen. So Jesus is saying to his disciples, you think you 12 guys can save me? I can call 12 legions, 72,000 angels from heaven, and they can come down and fight for me. I'm wondering, Jesus has spent the last hour in prayer, and if he's been thinking about, man, I could do this. I don't have to go through this. Friends, he was going through a real struggle. I want us to realize that, the struggle, the hardship Christ was going through. And he knows this is my mission. This is why I came to earth, why I left heaven, is to die for humanity. And in the midst of his big project, in the midst of his mission, in the midst of the biggest event of the entire course of the human race, he sees a guy who's hurting and he heals his ear. You know what that tells me? God knows your pain and my pain, and he's never too busy to do something about it. Malchus could have easily been overlooked in all the hubbub and drama that was going on at the moment, but not to Christ. Malchus realized Jesus is caring. Jesus is compassionate. And friends, that same compassion and care and love flows over to you and I. Jesus cares about you. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but he's not too busy. He's not too caught up in the affairs of this world, running the world, and he's left you all alone. He loves you and cares about right where you're at. And that's going to bring us to the second thing that Malchus learned from his encounter with Christ. If you're taking notes today, God is approachable and personally involved in our lives. The spiritual condition of Israel at this time when Jesus walked the earth was not very good. The spiritual leaders of the day, the priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, they had presented an inaccurate picture of who God was, an inaccurate picture of how do you find God, what is spiritual life all about. Listen to how Jesus rebukes them. Mark records this in his gospel, chapter 7, verse 6 through 9. Jesus says to the religious leaders, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. He said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. Jesus said, you've set up all these man-made laws, but God's laws of justice and righteousness, you've thrown them away. You're not showing people how to follow God. You're showing them how to just do what you want them to do. Matthew records in chapter 23 one of Jesus' rebukes. He said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Ouch. If you're looking for spiritual direction and you come to the temple, you come to the priests and the scribes and Pharisees, are you going to find it? No. If you follow what they say, you're going the other direction. You're twice as much, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourself. Jesus knew the condition of Israel was horrible. And so if people are going to find God, how are they going to do it? That's why Christ came to the earth. Everything he did was pointing them to God. Because up until this point, people had no idea. And God was distant. God was far away. God was unapproachable. And we're told, and it was referenced on the video, Matthew records something that happened when Jesus died. It says in verse 50, Matthew chapter 27, Jesus cried out with a loud voice. He yielded up his spirit. That means he died. And look at this, verse 51. The veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. We have a diagram up on the screens of the design of the temple. And you can see in the picture, there is a veil there. And what you're seeing on this side of the veil is the holy place. And that veil separated people from the Holy of Holies. If you look in the diagram on the right, it's number 6, the purple box there. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. The Ark of the Covenant was the place where the Spirit of God, where the presence of God resided, and that veil separated everyone from the presence of God. No one could go back into the Holy of Holies to the Ark of the Covenant except the high priest. And the high priest would only go back once a year when he would take the blood of the sacrifice and he would apply it, and that would cover for the sins of the people for the next year. And when Jesus died on the cross, you have to realize, Jesus, in the book of Hebrews, it says he is the perfect high priest. It also says Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. When Jesus died on the cross, his blood was applied and the veil was torn from top to bottom. And what God was signifying by this is there was a time when your sin separated you from God. Your sin kept you away. And now, though, there has been a sacrifice that has torn the veil, and you and I have access to God. We have access to God through the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus has made God approachable. Does God seem distant and far away from you? Does it seem like he doesn't care? Friends, the cross shows us that the Lord wants to be personally involved in our lives. We're told in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24, the Lord your God is a consuming fire and a jealous God. I heard Joyce Myers a few weeks ago talk about there are some people, some Christ followers, who really the only kind of commitment, the only passion they have for God is 45 minutes on a Sunday morning. She said it's like they go on a 45-minute date with God and then they forget about him the rest of the week. There's no passion. There's no commitment. There's no relationship. It's just all about just coming and going through routine. Friends, do you realize that God is a jealous God? Do you realize that over 15 times in the Bible, there's a reference that God is a jealous God? God loves you. I remember when I was dating Rebecca. I talked a little bit earlier about how we first met. Fast forward about, a couple months later. And actually, it was about a month later. And we had went to a Christmas play on a date that was 40 miles south in Aberdeen. Remember, there's nothing to do in the little town of North Dakota we went to. Well, that day, and we weren't steady yet, okay? But the next day, or the day before in chapel, one of the speakers talked about, girls, do you know how tough it is for a guy to ask you out? And I'm going, yeah, I remember how tough it was. And he says, if a guy asks you out, go out with him. Well, since we weren't steady, a couple other guys asked her out. And so she went out on a date with them. And it was comical because I remember when that happened. I'm getting jealous. I like this girl. And we're not steady. And I'm not going to go into all the details, but I remember those emotions. Any of you ever been there, done that? Been jealous? God is jealous about you. God wants you to love him. As Matthew said in chapter 22, with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That is what God is looking for. He wants relationship. He doesn't want to date you for 45 minutes on a Sunday. He wants you to walk with him in a vibrant, passionate relationship. He wants to be personally involved in your life, not to be a 911 call just when things are bad, not just when you have a crisis or an emergency, but he wants to know you, to love you, to be with you all the time. Malchus teaches us that God is approachable, he's personally involved, and he cares about us.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.